B-Pod Studios.
Talking about the game is no game.
You were listening. You were enjoying the talk.
Toucher and Rich.
That's wordplay, my friends.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
Okay, so Fred, I don't know if you remember, but last week I introduced you to a gentleman who, he's not like one of these stiffs, okay, who lives by society's rules, all right? He sometimes likes to turn things up a little bit to the extreme. A gentleman who runs his own vlog, video blog, for all you not in the know, you uncool cats, in which he likes to record himself on his bike doing some rad, super radical stunts, like the one that he attempted a couple of weeks ago, where he was going to ride his bike on the Charles River. That was, of course, until his buddy fell into the ice.
By the way, folks, I am the original ice rider from Lucas's 2012 video, Line of Sight.
Okay.
Yeah. I missed it. I'm sorry.
Oh, you were not here for this?
No. I missed that thing he was just talking about in 2012.
Oh, well,
you never saw Line of Sight? Figures, nerd.
I did not get to see that, but I mean, it was mad intense. He's riding out there. There was a story in the Boston Globe about this guy who went out there. He fell into the ice, and what was great, too, was that, you know, as he fell in, his bike was pulling him down into the Charles River, and so his buddy stopped to go help him, and when he stopped, he fell into the ice as well. Now, I guess a week before that, there was a report that somebody had called 911 because they saw people drowning in the Charles and slipping under the ice. And when the paramedics showed up, or the fire department, whoever was flailing in the ice was gone. This guy said, no, that was 10 minutes before we were there, so it couldn't have possibly been us. No, it was just other people falling into the ice. It wasn't you at all. But this dude, he may have fallen into the ice once, Fred, but someone tried again to complete the task. Shall we go to the video of Extreme Joe McGee?
Never give up, baby. Carpe diem.
What did you call him? A member of the Gray Pube crew?
Yeah, the Gray Pube crew. He's making it happen, doing like really somewhat reasonable stunts. Yeah.
This guy's like 60 or something like that, and he's, you know, making these videos that, you know, are might be the worst. Like, if this was in a room where Jackass guys were, they're posing, it's like, what are you doing?
Like, yeah,
this is like the lamest stunt ever.
I might get a little cold.
Yeah. So let's go to the video. Here's the guy setting it up. Now, everyone's been waiting to find out whether he could actually run on the ice here. So he does a little intro here. Frey, let it roll.
I just did an awesome ride with this bad boy. And so,
oh, boy. With this bad boy. Check
He's
it out.
His bike. Here we go.
Yeah, look at this two-wheeled monster.
I just did an awesome ride with this bad boy. And so I got buzzed by a helicopter from the Coast Guard. I rescued a drone. I went through the center channel of the river. I crossed the river.
Ooh, you rescued a drone. Awesome. We'll get this guy a Medal of Honor.
So it's just cool guys hanging out with other cool guys.
Yeah, exactly. I found a couple kites. Don't worry about it. They'll get back to their owners. Wink.
And this time I did not fall in. And so, let's let the video roll.
Okay, so he's riding on the ice. He's right. Filming the whole thing. And then he sees up to the right, there's some people who were kind of standing watching him. So he goes, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to go up there and, you know, let him meet the star of this video.
Yeah, these guys, let's freak him out and give him a real show.
What are these guys going to say when I show up?
This, I went through the center of the river. Yeah, where the beacons are for the boats. It is so beautiful out here.
You feel confident that the ice is thick enough?
Well, you know, I know how to swim.
All right, let's get back. It's so beautiful. Yeah, like, wow. How beautiful from that, like, 20 feet closer you are to the edge. He's just out in the middle of the river. What are you seeing that no one else is seeing? It's so beautiful. Oh, it's so beautiful. Oh, is it now? Oh, please, can you give it to NASA that you had this vantage point of something a full 30 feet closer than I would be.
By the way, on the video, the caption underneath it that he put was, "Yeah, it was me, bitches."
Oh, God!
Sorry, ladies, I'm married, but maybe next time.
He pulls over just to see what these people are going to say. Like, yeah, you're on ice. Like, yeah, man.
He pulls over and he goes, "I hope your panties haven't frozen over." Because I didn't mean to make you hot.
Well, I guess there's no cops. That's pretty cool. Man, some years ago...
I guess there's no cops.
Yeah.
Wow, this is pretty awesome, man.
Yeah, you got felony riding your bike on the river. It's like all those crazy people in kayaks and what have you.
Maybe they're more worried about the people stabbing each other on the banks of the Charles.
Nah, they just know this is a bad boy. You know, the cops see him and they go, "Oh, that's the guy from Ice Road Bike Guy to 2010. Let him be."
Hang on. Guys, we're on alert for someone from the GPC, the Grey Poop Cube. The Grey Poop Crew leader is on the loose.
That'd be funny if he just goes up to the people and throws some gray pubes at him and says, "Yeah.
You've been baptized."
That's like, yeah. I'm like Zorro. Just look for the gray pubes. A pair of Oakley shades with some gray pubes stuck on them. Abraham Lincoln, you.
Abraham Lincoln.
The Abraham Lincoln, the one thing I've done, actually. All right, here we go.
Man, some years ago, we were out here, and we were doing less than I was doing today. And people were like calling the police like crazy. But today, maybe that shows a change in society.
Yeah, society's finally gotten cool and accepting it. Maybe no one called the police because no one cares.
Everyone's just like, "All right, dude, knock yourself out."
Yeah, you know it's a good stunt when you have to ride over to people and go, "Huh?
Yeah, hey, what do you think?"
And they're like, "Wow, is that safe?" No. But, you know, that's the way I ride. This guy's the lamest guy ever. Let's pull up to these people and see if they still have hats on their head.
Here comes the Coast Guard again.
What's up?
It's cool.
Yeah, that helicopter, it's going to land pretty soon, and they're all going to get out with machine guns to get you.
Right, all like of them dive out on ropes and lower themselves to the ground to chase them.
It's the Coast Guard again.
That's right.
Yeah, the Coast Guard.
What is he thinking? They're all after me, man. The city's gone mad. There's a guy riding his bike.
Yeah, it's Goodfellas. All of a sudden, he's looking at everywhere. There's camera. There's helicopters following him. I mean, what is... By the way, if they have a helicopter and they're interested in you... Yeah, exactly. You know they're going to send, like, dudes to come get you. There's the Coast Guard again. "Hey, fellas."
Oh, no, they're after me. Why did they leave?
Yeah, why do they keep leaving?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's super dangerous.
I know, I ride my bike the same way I trade stocks.
Oh, my.
YOLO, man. YOLO. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But, like, very conservatively, and then you brag about it?
From my mother's basement.
I mean, is that... Did he just really say that?
Yeah. If this guy's managing my portfolio, I'm out.
Oh, my God.
I think we might have to go nuts and buy a little Apple stock. Ouch!
You know what's great is that I knew I had heard that before because I read the article, and in this article, when he was being interviewed, he said, "I ride my bike like I play my stocks," and he uses that line all the time. That's his line, I guess.
Yeah, so he's really cool. All right.
I know. I ride my bike the same way I trade stocks. YOLO, man. YOLO. Yeah, that's two times for your ass. Live fast, ride fast, and die last.
Oh, I mean, come on. This is my favorite person on the planet now. Hang on. YouTube, follow. You, sir, have just earned a follow. This is my new favorite person on the internet.
He's the bad boy of the stock market, I'll tell you that.
Did he yell YOLO?
YOLO, man. YOLO.
Yo, live once, bro. So ride your bike doing a mediocre stunt.
I mean, all of us suckers are going to have died without riding our bikes on the Charles River when it's cold.
I ride my bike the same way I trade stocks.
Oh, this guy's the best.
Lame.
Okay, so I'm looking at this video, and I'm like, whoa, he's got like 7,000 views of this. Ooh. And then I scroll down, and all the comments are, hey, I'm here for the Canelo fight. Was he going to catch Canelo's hands? Why are you in the ring in the Canelo fight? Another one, guy was at the Canelo fight. You got told that... So apparently, like, somehow this got posted as saying, if you click on this link, you can watch the Canelo fight from this past weekend.
Yeah.
So it doesn't sound to me like he's trying to get clicks the old fashioned way.
Yeah, I put on my videos like I trade stocks fraudulently.
I ride my bike the same way I trade stocks.
Oh, this guy's my favorite person on the internet right now. Oh my God.
I ride my bike the same way I trade stocks.
Yeah. That's two times for your ass.
Yeah, baby.
Rescued a drone. Got buzzed by a helicopter from the Coast Guard.
Got buzzed by it.
The center channel of the river. I crossed the river.
YOLO, man. YOLO.
Live fast. Ride fast. And die last.
Oh, my God.
Just try. Said,
totally went out to check my mail today. Left the junk mail in the box. Warrior.
Yeah.
Well, two times for that ass.
Yeah, just went up
That's
to my...
two times for your ass.
Yeah, just went up to my mattress and took that tag off. No one was looking. I was at the grocery store. Let's just say the grapes were ripe. But you didn't buy any grapes. Who said I did? I did my own taste test. All right. There you go. We can YOLO the day away. Danny Ainge is going to join us at 9 o'clock. We'll be
this
right
bad boy.
I ride my bike the same way I trade stocks.
Stay tuned. More Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Want to make a good morning even better?
Oh!
Now, you can listen to Toucher and Rich on the radio.com app.
You are locked in to the show.
It's Toucher and Rich.
Marchand gets the signal, now accelerates, grabs the puck, wheels into the slot, stick handles, shoots, and Vanacek loves it. And this game has gone final. The Washington Capitals victorious in the shootout over the Boston Bruins 2-1 here at TD Garden.
Playoff type game, got a little more physical as the game went on, but you know that's what we have to expect every night. We got to be able to play that way each and every game and compete that hard and be that physical and kind of build our game as the season goes on because that's how we have to play to win in playoffs. So that's our goal.
.985 the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Ridge, 617-779-0985. Last night was the return of Zdeno Chara to the Boston Garden.
In what was a really disappointing and strange tribute they had for him that, as I said, there's a nice type of suspension of reality while you're watching some of these games. They do a pretty good job making you feel like everything's normal. And then when you see the video being played to an empty arena yesterday and there being no applause and just like some stick taps from the players, like, okay, well, that was a moment that would have been so damn good if it had a full crowd of people. Although I will continue to wonder why the hell they made the video that they made. Like, this is Zdeno Chara's return, and you get 90 seconds to do something amazing, and half the video was random, like, season ticket holders going, Zdeno, you're the best. I remember when you were the captain.
Because the fans couldn't be there, Rich. They couldn't be there.
You got 90 seconds to put the best Zdeno Chara moments for as long as he was here, and you, like, gave half of it to guys who have no clue who they are. And I didn't see Xanadu to Bruins Luchador either, which means it's not really official.
That's a mistake.
Michael Rod, Xanadu had blown it all on the Michael Rodder video. It was just, that was just Xanadu sitting in a room with a fluffy that he had made, making love to it. That's all that was.
So that kind of sucked, but I mean, that is what it is. But the game itself yesterday was, for the lack of any sort of scoring, you know, at the beginning of that game, the intensity was awesome. And I do love the fact that Trent Frederick's becoming somewhat of like a folk hero. I mean, he is moving his way up the ladder. And the fact that he went right after Ovechkin was pretty funny. But it brings a point that I was talking about earlier today. And that is, so, you know, finally Frederick gets under Ovechkin's skin. They're going back and forth. And then Ovechkin takes his stick and just jams right between Frederick's legs, jams him right in the balls. Frederick falls over. And I just remember how when Brad Marchand did almost that exact same thing, who was it, to Dachin?
I think the guy's name was Dachin, yes.
Yeah, there's like a couple years ago. People lost their minds.
Was it against the Canadian team?
No, it was against the Tampa Bay, I think.
Oh, okay. All right.
It was Jake Dachin, Tampa Bay.
Yeah, yep. So he does almost the exact same move, although when Ovechkin does it, it's done with a hell of a lot more force. I mean, that was no joke, and it was kind of wild that, you know, because you almost saw a smile crack.
Oh, yeah, Frederick was happy. He was like, I got to him. He's, actually, that
he got
made him
smiling.
Happy.
He was like, great.
Oh, I love Frederick.
He was smiling on the ice.
Oh, he was insane.
Yeah, he went down, and he was smiling. He was like, I finally got to him. I got to him. I disrupted him.
He's got almost that McQuaid craziness.
Yeah,
you know how he was he would look at you with that weird smile and you thought he was kind of nuts. You know, you want that little bit of edge. Frederick's got a little bit of that. And so when Brad Marchand ended up doing that, not only did they he was kicked out of the game, but he also, there was a clamoring for him to be suspended for a large period of time. I mean, people went nuts. The finger wagging and the amount of sanctimonious people that came out. And Fred, that's without him playing a Canadian team. That's without, you know, Montreal fans who are obviously already over-emotional trying to call. This was a Tampa Bay team and people were going nuts. And just the way that things have turned, and I know that Brad Marchand has earned himself a reputation, but I mean, it was the exact same thing. And people went nuts for it a while back, and now it's no big deal.
It's funny. Like, all right. You could make the argument that Marchand is the best player on this team. I mean, Marchand
right now he is. Other than Bergeron has taken a step back a little bit. Not that he's not great, but if you're just comparing him, the two wingers have been better than him this year.
Oh yeah, and you know they'd go and tell you that, you know, Bergeron has a lot more responsibility and Bergeron has to do this and that. But they illustrated how good Marchand was last night very well.
Defensively, too. They actually had a little segment there because Marchand, his defensive play led to Pasternak's goal, the 2-on-1. Yeah. And they were saying, you know, a winger, it's been this long since a winger won the Selke. And, you know, why not consider this guy? As long as Bergeron's on that team, Marchand's not going to win the Selke.
He's not going to win.
But still, very good defensive player.
Marchand's also not going to win any awards because he's Marchand. And people don't like him. And he's not going to get voted. But when he gets voted is when there's a Canadian national team, is when they realize
they want him.
Yeah, when they want to win.
Yep, they want him.
Yeah, that's because giving him an award does them no good. But when they want him for something, when they want him to win, they're gonna take Marchand. Marchand and Bergeron are on that Canadian team. I mean, they'll be on it. That's just that first line is historic. That first line, all three of those guys could get their number retired in Boston. Think about that, and think about how little numbers are retired in Boston. Well, and all three of those guys, and that Bergeron's number is retired.
There's no question.
His number is retired. He's a Hall of Famer. Marchand's, he gets a couple more years of production. You're talking about his number getting retired.
And Pasternak, his trajectory is insane.
Well, Pasternak could play for 15 more years.
Yep.
I mean, Pastrnak could be on this team for 15 more years. I mean, but, I could be retired by the time, I mean, John could be dead by the time Pastrnak retires.
Well, he's not retiring in 2 years, Fred. Come on.
Well, I'm just saying, I'm putting it in perspective. Like, there is a chance.
Listen, age is undefeated, all right? Time is...
If things go well for me, Pastrnak could be on the Bruins longer than I'm in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And so put that in perspective.
John, look at the bright side of it. You could be an honorary member of the GPC if you wanted to.
I can't wait.
The Gray Pube Crew.
I could throw pubes at everyone, just like that guy.
Sure, you know.
Two times for your ass.
That's right.
We'll sprinkle your asses. I just thought about what you like. We'll sprinkle your ashes two places. One on a big butt, and two at the Bryant sideline.
Well, now we're talking. Now that's pretty good.
That's where he was at his happiest.
Ted Williams wanted it in the Gulf Coast of Florida, where he used to fish. That's where I want mine.
I want my ashes spread.
Really?
Bro.
See, that's a lot of work.
Where?
I don't want to give people work.
No, it's actually not. Let me tell you. And then I'll do this briefly, and then we come back. We can talk about re-signing Rask. But it is getting cremated is the easiest thing in the world. It makes things a thousand times easier.
No, cremated.
No,
yes.
I know.
Spreading of the ashes and having like an adventure that people have to go
on. No. Unless you're a psycho, you don't make a bunch of people go out there. You just have one person. Like when you have a chance, and you don't say like, you know, I want it on the space shuttle, or, you know, I want it on It's a Small World or something stupid. But if you go like, there's an area where I'd want my ashes spread, and just when you get around to it in your life, go do it. Like, I don't care. Like, I'm dead. I don't care when you do it. But if you get around to it, you do it. Because my grandmother was cremated on my dad's side, and that box sat in their closet forever. And then finally, when everyone could get together, there was a funeral.
But you thought about this. You want your ashes spread. Do you have a place picked out?
No.
Okay.
No.
You just know that you want it spread somewhere. You haven't figured out where that sacred place is going to be.
It might not even have to be anywhere in particular. But it depends also, like, if my kids wanted my ashes or something, they could have them. I don't think they would. But I'd want them spread. I don't know where, but yeah, but I definitely want to get cremated. I don't want to be buried somewhere. No, that's gross. And plus, it's so inconvenient. It's so inconvenient for everyone.
Yeah, there's no question.
I mean, because then you got to rush and get everything done because you can't have a body sitting around forever. You gotta get that body in the ground. Lickety split. And then you got to pay for the headstone and everything else. That's the way to go. And we didn't spread my grandmother's ashes. I don't even know where they are. I think they're in Florida somewhere. But We buried the ashes. I think we did too.
Yeah. So it makes it easier, but you still have a headstone and a place to visit. But it was ashes.
Yeah,
that was buried.
Yeah, that's the thing with the ashes is they can, but they sat in a box. And people are like, they sat in a box in their closet. Like, what do you care? Like, what would my parents care? Yeah, they were in a box in their closet until everyone was ready, and then when everyone could get together, then it's not like there was a million people. But when, you know, the 15 people could get together, the 15 people went and got together. That's what you do. That's what but real religious people, they don't get cremated, you know, a lot of times. So you got to deal with all that. And, you know, being Jewish, John, that's you got to sit Shiva and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say my grandparents on my mom's side are very, very Catholic. They were very, very Catholic. And I had to sit in a room with the dead body of my grandmother for 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
2 days I had to sit there in the room, and it was awful. Mm-hmm. That was the time where my father got hit on at a Kings Park, Long Island bar. We went to watch the Jets play the Oakland Raiders in a Monday Night Football game, and a woman was so drunk that she hit on my dad, which is the... I thought someone had slipped acid in my drink. I was like, what is going on? Like, someone's and ignoring me completely. And I was an adult and just really had an affection for my bald, fat dad. They loved him to death. Drunk as all hell. I mean, I wouldn't have banged there, but woof. I mean, I'll tell
you. It's a good sign that, you know, there's always hope. There's always hope.
Yeah, it was just weird. It was so weird. Because I've seen guys pick fights with my dad before, which was very strange.
Really?
Oh, yeah, Lions games, like, we'd come out, and, like, there's dudes that just are, like, in camouflage, like, downriver hicks in Michigan, and they're, yeah, they're drunk and picking fights. I saw that, and that was disturbing. But there was nothing quite as disturbing, and or I should say as strange, as seeing a woman hit on my dad. I mean, I've seen my parents kiss on the lips once. One time I've seen them kiss on the lips. And to see a woman, like, sexually going after my father was... Now that's all brought up. Now I'm thinking about when my grandfather, my pop-up, was dying, and he was super religious, and he said, there's nothing worse than facing your own death. And I was like, oh, boy, this is no good. Get me out of here. All right. We'll be back, and we will talk about Tuukka Rask. It was brought up by your friend McKenzie over there last night.
Bob McKenzie.
That there could be a, not trading Tuukka Rask, signing Tuukka Rask. Mm-hmm. We can talk about that and the rumors of Halak and all of that coming right up.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Get you going every day.
I don't care for the sportsman-like talk.
Toucher and Rich.
At least let me live in a fantasy world that for 3 hours you hate each other.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Near circle, Ovechkin shoots, and Rask stacks the pads over at the near post and makes that stop. Old school.
What's up? We're touching Rich last night during the Bruins game. Bob McKenzie was on the broadcast there on MS, whatever the hell that's called.
NBC Sports Network.
And he brought up that the Bruins would be willing to talk to both Rask and Halak, who are on the last years of their deal, about coming back, signing this season to extensions.
Yeah, if either goalie is interested. So it sounds like what they've done is they've put the ball in their court. They've opened up the conversation and said, guys, if you want to resign, let's talk. Let us know, because we would have no problem doing this now. And that's significant. It's obviously significant because, you know, all the stuff that we've heard, you know, with Tuukka and all the questions that have been there as to whether or not, you know, especially after how last season ended, there was so much talk about whether or not the Bruins felt that they could continue to trust a guy who did what he did at the end of last season. I mean, there were a bunch of crazy talk at the end of all of that. And even people who thought that Tuukka Rask shouldn't be on this team anymore, despite him being an unbelievable goalie, consistently one of the best five in the league over the last couple of years. So this kind of puts to bed all of that speculation, doesn't it? That he's their guy of the future. They want him here in the future. Now, that all obviously depends on what they're willing to offer him as well, because I am like you, Fred, that think that if there is a decent amount of money to be made somewhere else, he'll go. He's saying all the right things. You know, I want to finish my career here, but we've seen time after time after time all of these athletes say that, and then when they're offered a bigger, better deal, go somewhere else.
I don't know if he'd be... Yeah, he might be willing to go somewhere else. I didn't think that he wouldn't be. I just, if I'm the Bruins, I would say, here's a 2-year deal, and if he wants anything more than that, I would say, go see what's out there, and we'll come back and talk, because I'm not positive what Rask gets on the open market, and I don't know what they're going to be willing to spend. The thing I had an issue with was the Halak extension, because we talked about this. What's going on in Canada with the coronavirus is insane. I mean, they locked everyone down, like, and everyone just took it, and then now they can't even get the vaccines out. So no one, I don't know if anyone's playing in Canada this year. They'll probably figure out a way to do it. But next year they'll probably have that all Canadian division again because, again, they've messed everything up. They've books and books will be written about how mishandled this thing was by everyone, everyone on every side of the issue mishandled this thing. But it was the first time it's happened, so I guess next time it won't be as bad. But you know, so the cap's not going anywhere. That I don't think it's going to raise or anything like that. So teams are still going to be under it, and I'm not paying Halak. I got two kids in Providence, one that the ex Hobie Baker finalist that has a goals against average that's under two. Vladar is a guy that has a goals against average two or a little bit under, and one of them is my backup. Yeah, just like you got rid of Chara, it's time to have a backup. Now, I want Tuukka Rask to be my number one goaltender, and I want a kid to have a chance to ease into the role as my future starter, but Tuukka Rask is still the same guy that did what he did. Tuukka Rask is take away the bubble situation, which, I mean, I understand. But, you know, he is a guy who's left the team, and he is a guy who has shown that his desire sometimes is not to play. So I'm not comfortable giving him any more than 2 years at his age.
Well, he's going to find more than 2 years.
Well,
he's going to find it somewhere. Someone's going to offer more than two years. There's no question a guy at that level.
We'll see where it is. We'll see where it is, you know, who's offering it, if he'd be willing to go to that team. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it.
You would if you had to give him more than 2 years, you would let Tuukka Rask walk?
I'd have to think about it, and it's not something that I'd be in a rush to do. Yes, I would. Let's see where it is. I mean, it's not going to be in Arizona because their ownership is crazy. It's probably not going to be in Canada because they're not going to have fans for the next 400 years.
You also have to take a look at the ages. I mean, Rask, I think his birthday is next week, so he's going to be 34.
Yeah.
So, Rich, taking that into account, how many years are you willing to give him?
Three, at least. I think three is where it is. I think he's going to get robust three-year deal. And if you can't, and someone's going to offer to them. So if the Bruins stand firm on 2 years, especially if you've got just these young guys, and I know that they've got great potential, but I mean, their feet aren't even wet yet.
Okay, I can tell you this about Tuukka Rask from what I know of him. He ain't going to Edmonton. He ain't going to Ottawa. He ain't going to Calgary. He ain't going to Buffalo. He doesn't want to do that. He likes his lifestyle. He likes where he is. And so if a team like Buffalo goes and throws 4 years at him for a ton of money, I don't think he'd take it.
See, that's the thing. You say three at least, Rich. I say three at most, considering his age.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't offer him three this season. I'd see how he performs this season, how he performs in the playoffs, and what else is out there. But, yeah, I'd let him chase it. I'd let him see what's out there. I'm in no rush to give him three. The only reason I get the deal done during the season is if I could get him at a price that I wanted him and give him that peace of mind.
Yeah, and I agree with you, Fred. Halak should be gone.
No, Halak's gone. I'm not paying. I know he doesn't make a lot of money, but I'm not paying
him. But, I mean, if you can save, I think it's $2 million bucks. I think if you could save the $2 million and spend it on somebody else, I mean, you're going to pay one of these kids less than $1 million to back up Rask.
Yeah.
I mean, Swayman apparently is the real deal from everything I read. I mean, you said it. He's a Hobie Baker finalist last year. I mean, this is his first year of pro hockey, and he hasn't missed a beat. He's apparently still very, very good.
And, John, look at when was the last time they had a young goaltender? Rask?
It's been a while.
So, Rask 10 years ago?
Backing up Tim Thomas. Yeah.
So, you know, it's time to bring in a young goaltender. But, no.
Yeah, that I agree.
The reason I make the deal with Rask during the regular season is that if he goes, and this happens, if he says, all right, let's get this done. I want to make sure I end my career in Boston. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want the uncertainty. And you say, okay, here, I'll pay you, you know, a lot of money to stay here for two more years. I think that's fair. And he goes, that's great. That's how long I want to play, and I want to play here. And I have that security and fantastic. Then I go, great, let's sign the deal. But if he goes, well, I want 3 years or I want this and that, then I go, okay, well, we can bring this up after the season and we can see what's out there for you.
Well, how screwed is this team, though, without Tuukka Rask next year?
Well, then you re-sign Halak, and you roll the dice.
Yeah, and you're screwed. I mean, we saw what Halak is. No, I mean, Halak's a reliable guy that can switch shifts with Tuukka, but as far as someone in the playoffs, we saw exactly what he could do.
But you speed up the young kid's timeline. I mean, look, it's not optimal, but if Tuukka Rask, if Rask comes to you and said, I want 4 years and $24 or $30 million, I agree with Fred. You say, okay, I have Yaroslav Halak. I'm going to sign him to a two-year, $5 million contract, bring up one of the kids, and hope that one of them pops.
And by the way, this is a team that's transitioning, too, that is going to have to spend a lot of money on players coming up. This is a team that's got I mean, they showed the age of the defense last night. I mean, they're going to have to pay McAvoy. There's guys that they're going to have to pay. And so you can't. I can't jam up my salary cap on a 37-year-old goaltender. I mean, that's a deal that we're all going to look back on and go, why the hell did they do that?
But you still just have a little bit of time left with Marchand and Bergeron getting older as well.
But if I let,
and I don't know if you just throw that opportunity away
by letting him go
by
to free agency. By letting him go to free agency, I'm not saying he's gone.
He's gone. You let him go, he's gone. He's gonna get 3 years.
Knowing Tuukka Rask, there about three fourths of the NHL, he wouldn't go.
I'm genuinely curious. Why have you heard that?
He values his lifestyle more than he value at this point in his career, I think, than he would value the money. That if it came down to it, and it came down to a couple million bucks on a contract, that he would. I know for a fact that he wouldn't go to Calgary or Ottawa or any of those places. I know
for
he would.
$8 million more, he wouldn't do it.
$8 million more?
Yeah.
I mean, that you're tacking on an additional year?
Yeah.
So it's not $8 million same term. It's $8 million with an additional year? No, I don't. Yeah. I don't think he'd do it. I don't think he'd do it.
I don't know. We've just seen it happen too many times.
Well, his personality has shown you that what he values. I mean, when he's having a personal issue, he leaves. I mean, he's not a guy that's going to move his family to the middle of nowhere. He's not a guy who's going to move his family somewhere where he doesn't want to live. He's not going to. But
from Finland, right?
Yes.
Why wouldn't he go to Canada?
Well, who goes to Ottawa?
He's
voluntarily
not going
to Ottawa. I mean, who voluntarily goes to Calgary?
It's not like he's used to the fun in the sun, and all of a sudden he's like, I got to go to Canada. He's fine.
DeBrusque is like, oh, Calgary's great when we have him on next hour, but I don't think anyone voluntarily goes there.
You don't know the difference between Calgary, Ottawa, Edmonton, and Boston? I mean, it's more than a weather issue. He's not going to want to live out there. He's not going to want to go out there and live. I'm telling you.
You'll see.
He's a guy, he wants to stay in Boston, and if he the only reason I'd sign him during the season is if I could offer him the security. I mean, he'd make a nice payday. I'm not saying, you know, I'd pay him a lot of money to stay for 2 years.
Well, I think this is great news. Like, of anything that we got from last night, the fact that at least the Bruins, despite there being speculation after the end of last season that they might be wanting to move on, I like the fact they're staying with him. Because I even said at that time, I'm like, you're not winning without Tuukka Rask. Because right now, your plan is Yaroslav Halak, and we saw that he couldn't do it, and two guys that have not been proven, despite the potential that they apparently have, and it is big, they haven't proven anything yet. So you're taking a huge risk letting him walk. So Tuukka's kind of got the Bruins by the balls right now.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't at all.
Can they win without him?
No.
If the goal is to win a Stanley Cup in the next 2 years, then yes. I think Rich is right about this point. If you have Halak or one of the kids starting in net, the odds of you winning a cup decrease significantly.
Yeah, but the odds of winning a cup within the next 10 years decrease significantly if you're bogged down with a contract.
But look at how good this team is. Why would you throw away the chance how good this team is playing?
Because the way
your window is right now.
Well, then why'd they let Chara walk? Why'd they let Krug walk? Because they're doing both.
You can't compare Chara to Tuukka. Chara was broken.
It's an attitude of what they're trying to do. If you don't see that, I don't know what to tell you. They have young talent that they're bringing along.
Krug, also, when he left, you still had Charlie McAvoy. Tuukka Rask, you got nothing. If he's gone, you got nothing.
They believe in the talent that they have. in Providence. And you, at certain point, you can't pay a guy too much money to win. Now they're not, they haven't built the team this way. They built the team for, they have a lot of young talent on this team that they want to keep around. They're trying not to get into a situation where they're bad and have to do a total rebuild.
Well, I hope, I do hope that you're wrong about that, and or actually, I hope that you're right that he would stay here for less money, because he's going to get offered more.
Not
somewhere
less
else.
Money, less years,
which is less money.
It depends how you look at it, and it and I don't know if he wants to play more than 2 years. Again, for the security of saying I'm going to stay in Boston and I know I'm going to be here this year and the next 2 years, that's the only reason for him to do a deal in the season. And it's the only reason for the Bruins to do a deal in the season. If not, go ahead and see what's out there. Because I'm looking at the NHL and I'm looking at a lot of markets he ain't going to. I'm looking at a lot of markets that he's not going to. At his age and with what he wants, there's a ton of places he's not going to go. And, you know, you take your chances. And listen, if Las Vegas, I don't think they would. There's no reason they would. But if Vegas wants to throw a bunch of money at him, then Vegas throws a bunch of money at him. Let them make the mistake.
Somebody said, Rich Rask literally said he only wants to play in Boston, so he has a market of one. John, how many athletes can you name right now who said, I only want to play in this city?
I didn't say he wouldn't go somewhere else.
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about there's, you know, people saying that he said he wants to stay here. And to that I say, I mean, didn't Mookie Betts say that? Didn't he? I mean, it's like, well, he never wanted to play anywhere else.
You're right. Everybody does say that. Yes. Well,
everybody says that. Yeah. Everybody does.
They do say that, and I don't think that's true. But I think he believes it now. But I do think that he'd be very selective about where he'd go. I do. I think that he would value being somewhere where he's happy and comfortable above just chasing an extra year on a career. I really do believe that. And I think that if
that would be good. Get him on the cheap. I would love that. Then
not on the cheap. It's just for less years. It's not on the cheap. It's for less years. I didn't say he's going to take a pay cut. I said he's going to sign for less years. You'd have to pay him a lot to stay, but you would just have to pay him a lot for 2 years rather than three. That's not the way to state it on the cheap. They'd have to pay him every dollar he's worth, but it would just not be for as long as he might get somewhere else. And if it's a perfectly rational thing from Rask is to have that job security and to know where you are. That's a perfectly rational thing to do. I mean, people, you know, that people do it all the time in their professions. So could be interesting. All right, Danny Ainge is going to join us in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.